For those of you who may not know it, 27 years ago, we were the ones that gathered together with Debbie and the Coes and a couple other families and started this wonderful ministry. You have been a part of a ministry that has literally been saving the lives of little babies. You've been saving the lives of mothers, literally, not just spiritually, but you've been doing that too. Many moms, their husbands, and/or their partners have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior through this ministry. So I really hope, you know, I don't know how many years ago it was, but I got together with another pastor. We got together once a week to pray together and talk about various things of interest to the Lord. And his name is Russ Davis. And so Russ was about 18 years younger than I am. And I said, why don't we add to the Walk for Life and run, you and me? And he looked at me like I was crazy. But that's what we started, and we got the Walk Run for Life. But as I grew older, so did he. But he was still, remember, 18 years younger. So he decided that we needed to do what pastors never do, and that is bet on who's going to win the race. You can imagine who beat me every time. Yes, Russ, but he's 18 years younger. So, at any rate, I can't really do the walks anymore, but I am there every single year. Every single year to be there to pray with, to pray over, and to see those of you that can. Even those of in our church family that used to be part of the church family would go out in their battery-operated wheelchairs. So I hope you could. You won't have an excuse not to go. It's so important, so important. And the Lord finally gave us an answer, at least with Roe versus Wade. Now the states, they get the option. But there is so much yet to be done. 65 million little babies in the United States alone have been sacrificed at the altar of people not wanting their child. We have a message to bring to these families that feel like, I can't keep this baby. Well, there are people who will adopt that baby. They will take the baby. Yes, you'll have to carry the little one, but there are people who will lovingly take that child. So I hope that you'll be a part of this outreach to the community, that other people will see it and they'll decide not to go to the abortionist. You know, that's a nice way of saying, of going to someone who wears scrubs and kills people. I don't know why, you know, adultery is just a nice word for, you know, someone having sex out of marriage. We need to call these things what they are and become a part of our Lord's loving army that comes alongside these men and women, loves them where they are, give them the alternatives. We don't sit in judgment of them. That's what the Lord will do to these folks. And to make sure that they understand that this may be their second or their third termination of a child. But to let them know that that guilt that so many of them carry, they can go to the same clinic and go to these classes and understand that the Lord loves them still. And if they will repent, confess and repent, they will be forgiven. And that guilt will be taken away. This is not a judgmental ministry. This is a ministry to the whole woman, the whole man. So let's continue to be a part of it. I hope you'll be there with me, even if you can't walk. At least be there with me to say adios to those that are going to walk. And then if you want to stay around for the hamburgers and everything, that's great too. Our Lord has been talking a lot to me this week. You know, he just opened up his word and he begins to pour out his heart to the person that opens his word and begins to read it and say, speak to me, Lord. And as I was reading in Deuteronomy, you know, Moses was filled with God, the Holy Spirit. And in this book that Moses wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in chapter 31, verse 8, the Holy Spirit said to all those that have read this since then, and he's saying to you and to me this morning, do not be afraid or discouraged. Family, whatever it is that you're facing right now, maybe it's an eviction, maybe it's a matter of losing your job, maybe the doctor gave you a really, it sounds like not a really great medical report. Our Lord says to you, as he's been saying to me all week long, you know, do not be afraid or discouraged. In other words, there's no reason to be frightened, and I want you to be encouraged, not discouraged. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord, our wonderful, wonderful Heavenly Father, will personally go ahead of you. These things that you're facing in life, this being in the valley of the shadow, whatever that is that may be a negative for you, he's saying, I'm going ahead of you. Do you understand? He's been behind you all this time. He's with you right now, and he's going to be with you because in the future, because he's already there. That's his all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present Heavenly Father that we have. But I'll go ahead of you. And then it says, he will be with you, you individually. When I say you, when I say he will be with you, would you say your name out loud? He will be with Ron. Again, he will be with Ron. He's going to be with you. And then he says, he will neither fail you nor abandon you. Whatever it is that's coming up, whatever it is that you're in right now that seems to be overwhelming you, as we're looking at this present series of how do we deal with these griefs that come into our lives. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. He has spoken to us on other occasions as a whole and said, I'll never desert you. I will never leave you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You and me, we're together if we're his kids. If we're his kids. Otherwise, as God, he knows all about you and he knows where you are. He knows what's going on in your life. But to have him in our life in such a rich way, as a loving, caring father, to have him in our life as such a great and awesome Savior, Redeemer, and friend, to know that he's in our life as God the Holy Spirit, and he says, I'm with you all the time. Wherever it is you go, I go too. That used to bother me at times when I thought about whenever I go to the restroom, he's there with me, you know? But the fact is, he is. And he doesn't care what I'm doing. He already knows what I'm doing. So having looked at Deuteronomy 31:8, not in your notes, ladies, Romans 15:4, you're going to be looking at later on in your Bible study in the book, The Letter to the Romans. And I thought it was interesting that the Lord would lead me here right after reading this passage in Deuteronomy. All this takes place during my deep personal experience time, the gnosko time with the Lord. And here in Romans 15:4, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. Now you want to go and you want to read the context of that. But everything, you know, what was told us in the Old Testament, the various things that we see taking place there, they were placed there so that we would learn about them and apply them to our lives or make sure we don't apply them to our lives. And here he says, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Find yourself being one of these people that you understand that what you're going through and what you're reading in the scripture are there for us to learn about so that we can make the right decisions going forward. And it says here, going on in verse 4, and the scriptures give us hope. They give us hope regarding our future, optimism. They give us every reason to be positive as Christian men and women, young people, and to be encouraged. The scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. And he's been teaching us these last few weeks about how he wants to fill our lives in such a rich way when we find ourselves going through that which is terribly negative, such as losing a job, such as, you know, the stock market nearly crashed on Friday and some of you maybe lost a significant amount of your IRA. I don't know. But our Lord Jesus is with us. He knew it was going to happen. And he's going to continue to watch over and he's going to take care of you. So we're learning how to get through life's losses. You know, fentanyl. You hear about it always in the news now. 100,000 of our youth, our kids, were killed last year because of fentanyl. Can you imagine how many moms and how many dads are mourning the loss of their son or their daughter? Or how many grandparents are mourning the loss of their grandchildren? Others, uncles and aunts who have lost a niece, a nephew. It's a tough time. And what the Lord is laying out for us during this season of your life and mine is to understand it's going to be rough. Life is rough. We agreed to that last week together. But he is here to help us to go through it and to help each of us to be able to go through it successfully and come out the other end whole and having come through it in a positive way. When I think of our veterans, you know, being a vet, I don't comprehend. I understand a little bit, but I don't understand why 20 of these kids, not of my generation, not of the Vietnam War generation, but these kids today coming home from Afghanistan, coming home from Iraq, 20 to 22 of these kids every day are committing suicide. Why? Why? Can you imagine what it's like for their wives, for their husbands, for their kids? Can you imagine what it's like for nephews who looked up to their uncle and he just couldn't handle life anymore, so he took his life? This series that our Lord has had us in, it is so important for all of us to really pay attention, to own it for ourselves, so that we can come alongside our friends. You know, this happens in law enforcement as well. Whereas we had over 4,000 of our men and women in uniform who worked the streets of our nation, and they committed suicide. Something's really going on. And you're a Christian. You're a son. You're a daughter of the Most High God. And he has said, I'm teaching you not only how you can work through getting through life's losses, how you, Ron, can get through it, but I want you to share all this with your church family, because there's so much suicide going on. There is so much death going on around us. It's important for us to be able to come alongside and be those helpers, to love these people that are going to find themselves in a really tough place. And maybe you're there right now. And your Heavenly Father is saying, son, he's saying, daughter, please, don't let that guy up there just shoot off his big mouth. Listen to what I have to say through him and implement it in your own life so that I can use you to face your own griefs, so I can use you to come alongside someone I'm going to bring across your path who needs your help. They need me, but they'll listen to you. And maybe you can introduce them to me. And I want to thank whoever you are. If there was three of you, one of you, or two of you, thank you for sharing the gospel last week, right, family? Aren't we blessed that we know that someone changed white from over there to here? The gospel was shared. Let's keep it up, family. Let's keep it up. So on page 7 of your notes is where we picked up last week, and then we moved along. We're looking at how to move forward through grief, how to do that in a positive way, how to do it in a healthy way. The first thing we learned is I need to list the losses that I haven't grieved over. And I've been so very open with you that I've given you 10 areas of my life, beginning when I was 10 years old up to just a couple of years ago, areas that needed to be worked through that I hadn't worked through. I'd stuff them down, and they caused issues in my life. They caused issues in my life. You know, I met a person that, you know, they were adopted. And they have all of these issues, perceived issues. But that when we're able to sit down and talk about it and work through that grief, my dad didn't want me. Mom didn't want me. So they gave me up. But he gave them up to a parent that loved them greatly. My dad was the same way. He was 3 years old when he was adopted out from his family. And Gracie Seidel, this wonderful Jewish woman, Dr. Gracie Seidel, doctor would move on very shortly after the adoption. But my nanny, as I called her, he couldn't have a better mom. She took the best care of him. And it was the same in talking with this other individual. As we worked it through, this person could see, man, I am truly, richly, wonderfully, lovingly blessed. And so this person could move on from this adoption. Whereas there was all these made-up thoughts. I'm unwanted. Da, 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 da. Not at all. This person went out of their way to take this person and make this person their own. And all this money that this person could have spent on themselves over 20 years, they spent it on this person and saw that they had the best schooling and made sure they had all the latest clothes. I mean, my grandmother Nanny, she made sure that my dad got a zoot suit back in the day before he went off to World War II. I mean, those zoot suits, I can't tell you how stupid they look. But nonetheless, my dad wanted one. And she went out and bought him one. I mean, he walked all over Hollywood High looking like a doofus. But, you know, it's just the way it was. She loved him in spite of his taste in clothing. But we need to go through these griefs, and we need to list them. Figure out what they are, and then take them on one by one. The second thing we needed to do is identify what you have really lost, what you've really lost. I kept hearing from this individual, well, I lost the opportunity to know my real mom. I lost the opportunity to know my real dad. And I said, did you really lose the opportunity? Is there absolutely no way you might be doing some, you know, detective sleuthing and find out where they are, if they're still alive, that you might go and talk with them and ask them what took place, why did they give you up, and so forth and so on. You know, it was wonderful to be able to pray through and help this person to see there are other options. But you see, like with my dad, he lost growing up with five other brothers and sisters and knowing his dad and his mom, but he was given an outstanding adopted mom. Outstanding. And he had all the resources to go look for his family, but he didn't do it. He had one sister who was also adopted out that came looking for him, her baby brother. And they met, and she came with her husband, and she moved in with her husband into my dad's house for almost a year, and he was miserable, he couldn't get her out, and so forth and so on. Check and see, did you really lose something? And if you did, then let's mourn it in a healthy way. Or maybe we'll find out how fortunate you really were, and it's not that big a loss. Identify what you have really lost and determine what needs to be done. Third, we looked at last week, and that is we began looking at you have to have the courage to lament. And lament is not a word we use often, but lamenting is to have a passionate expression of your grief that you share with your Heavenly Father. I gave you a question down there in your notes saying, complaining to God can be an act of worship. And some of you kind of looked at me with a puzzle. You see, you're acknowledging that he exists. You're acknowledging that maybe he could have done something about it. And he certainly could have, had it been part of his plan for you. I have found that many of my plans never were his plans for me. And that's okay, because I've also figured out, maybe you saw the movie Rudy, 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 Rudy. You know, he wanted to play on Notre Dame's football team. And he went to his priest, and he was complaining. And so the priest didn't have the answer, but he said, two things I know. There is a God, and I'm not him. And that's what we have to figure out too. He is, but we're not God. And because we had a plan, doesn't mean it was his plan. I had a plan. And it didn't work out that way. He pulled me out of that plan and made his plan for my life. And you being part of that plan, sorry, he made me come here. If you have a problem with that, talk to him. I didn't ask to be here. So he pulled me out of what I wanted to do because he had a better plan. A better plan. Always better than what mine could be. He's God, and I'm not. So we need to learn to lament, to give full expression of what our griefs are. It's okay with him. If we want to scream at him, he can handle it. You'll go back and you'll ask him to forgive you, and he will forgive you. But nonetheless, I'm acknowledging that he's there. And I'm acknowledging I don't agree with what he allowed to take place. I'm still mixed up in my heart. I would like to be able to, I so enjoyed a photograph yesterday of a father and a son out playing golf. I'd love to go out and attempt playing golf with Ronnie. But that isn't going to happen. That isn't going to happen. Ronnie is safe and secure in the place where he needs to be. I didn't know that 43 years ago when he was born. I didn't know I was going to have to give him up at that juncture in my life. But he wanted my son. He only lent Ronnie to me. He didn't give him to me. He lent him to me for the time that I got to have him. So, if you've got some rage or resentment or regrets or complaining, or you want to cast accusations against our Heavenly Father, he says, go ahead. Go ahead. I understand you. I created you. I love you. And I'm not going to stop loving you. You will learn. You will learn. Maturity comes with age. And you'll eventually get it. And right now, if he said, get it to me, I think I'm ready to say, got it. And he'll say, good, Ron. But that didn't stop me from missing my boy. I miss him very, very much. So our Father God, he's not afraid of negative emotions. We might be, but he's not. And I love it that it's okay with him to just let it all hang out in terms of lamenting. Our depth of maturity, spiritually speaking, is going to come in the form of having gone through grief, of having gone through these things in life that really hurt. As we go through these valleys of the shadow, the Bible is full of laments. In fact, there's a whole book of the Bible called Lamentations. You might want to give it a read. Jeremiah, the crying prophet. Jeremiah, I mean, he just laments in that book. And he, as he's lamenting, you know, he's lamenting over the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. A prophet of God is telling our Heavenly Father, you got it wrong. You got it wrong. The only person who got it wrong was Jeremiah. And Jeremiah could have if I were living then, it would be Ron that maybe wrote the book of Lamentations. The fact is, look there at your notes. Most people think the book of Psalms is about thanksgiving and praise. Most of us think of it in that way. There are 150 Psalms, I say here, in the Bible. There's more than 150 Psalms, but there are 150 in three books contained in what we call the Psalms. 65 of them are Psalms of Lament. 65 of them. If you go read them, it can be pretty shocking that there's that much negative stuff in the Psalms. And David and a whole bunch of other folks, other guys, are saying, God, this is bad. I don't like this. And God says, that's an act of worship. That's an act of worship. You're acknowledging him. You're saying he allowed it. You're saying he did it. You're saying he exists. He's for real. I don't like this. And God says that as an act of worship, this is an act of worship, and there is a passionate expression of grief being offered here in the Psalms, time and again. That's as much an act of worship as when you say, thank you, Lord, or when you say, I praise you, Lord. To say, I thank you, or I praise you, or I don't like it, it's the same thing. You're worshiping him. If you want to read the pinnacle of a dark lamentation, then go to Psalm 88. 88. Read that one. That one will warm your hide. Boy, talk about someone complaining. It's written by a guy named Heman. And then at the very end, his last words are not, praise the Lord. His last words are, darkness is my only companion. Darkness is my only friend. This guy's pretty upset. He's not handling it very well. Even though he seems to have suffered God's wrath as you're reading through this Psalm 88, then you'll understand that he's feeling a little bit about being separated from his friends, his buddies, and then he finds himself in total despair and darkness. But at the same time, he's going to move through that darkness, through the valley of the shadow, by seeking out God in prayer. See, every emotion known to humankind is in the book of Psalms. It's right there. It's all expressed there. So here's your action step. Start reading through the book of Psalms. I mean, I don't want you to just read one a day. That's going to take you 150 days. But if you read three of them a day, you can get through 92 of them in a month. In a month and a half, you can go through them all. But they will express your own emotions, your own feelings, whether you're happy or you're sad or nothing special going on in life at the moment. But as my encouragement is, start reading through the book of Psalms, underline every verse that you identify with, and every verse that encourages you. Then you'll be able to have it available to you for future reference, and you'll have it to share with others when others are in their discouraging seasons. It's like, here, I have my Bible open to the book of Psalms, and I can turn to someone who's hurting and say, gracious is the Lord, and right, and gracious is the Lord and righteousness. Our God is merciful. The Lord perceives the simple. He perceives your pastor. Did you get that? He perceives the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Lonnie's gone to be with the Lord. Return to your rest. Come back to your DPE, Ron. Come back to your Gnosko time. Lay out your heart before the Lord. Talk to Jesus openly. If all of a sudden your emotions well up in a negative way, it's okay. He's still going to love you, Ron. Go ahead and let it all out. It's going to be a while. This is healthy. Let it out. Don't stuff it. So have the courage to lament. Identify what you've lost. And have it on a list so it can be dealt with. Number four, you need to ask Jesus to heal your broken heart. You need to just go to him during your DPE and ask him to heal your heart. I've had it filled with brokenness and remorse long enough, I think. It's not helping me to hold on to it. My negativity gets fed through this. So fix my broken heart, Lord. Fix my broken heart. Because he's understanding, he will do that for us. He created me. He knows everything about me. There is nothing he doesn't know about me. And he knows the details that need to be covered to end the various griefs that I've identified to you in my own life. The Bible says he's near to the brokenhearted. It's one thing to simply read words in the Word of God. It's another thing to say, listen to what he's saying to me. In Psalm 38 and or 34 and verse 18, he's saying, Ron, I'm right here. Ron, I'm right here with you. I love you, man. I'm near to the brokenhearted. Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm your Abba Father. I'm your daddy. I'm your daddy. You're my child. And I am naturally going to be tender towards you. I am naturally, because I'm your dad, your spiritual dad, I'm going to be compassionate towards you because you honor me. Yeah, you get mad and you lose it from time to time. I knew you were going to do that before I even saved your soul. He understands how weak we are. When we come to Abba and say, Abba, I'm hurting. Abba, I'm scared. Abba, I'm grieving. Abba, I just got fired and I don't know what to do. This is huge in my life. Abba, the doctor is telling me there are parts of my body that are failing and they're significant parts. Abba, that divorce that I've been praying with you about, it's going to be final next month. Kathy and I are fine. I'm not talking about me. You heard her. She signed up for one more year. Dear Abba, all the things I wanted, they haven't happened. I wanted to get married. I wanted to have a child. I wanted to have my own family. It hasn't happened. Tell that to your Heavenly Father. You know what He is going to say. You know what He's going to say. He's not going to say, stop having a pity party. Stop crying. He isn't going to tell you that. He's going to understand because He's tender. He's compassionate. He understands just exactly how strong or weak you or I may be. In fact, Jesus said this in His first public sermon in His hometown, in Nazareth, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. Jesus said, speaking from a scroll, speaking from Isaiah 61, verse 1, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound. This was a messianic portion of a letter that Isaiah was asked by the Holy Spirit to write years and years ago, and Luke brought it forward yet again and in his gospel in Luke 7, verse 22. It talks about the poor. And he's not talking about people who are just economically poor or spiritually poor. He's talking about people who are poor in the country that they're living, their status. They're looked down upon because they are poor. It is all these things that he's speaking about. But it also, he's telling them, look, the deaf can hear. Wouldn't that be nice, some of you? The deaf can hear. And the people who have leprosy, they're being healed. Some of the dead are being raised. That he's doing all of these marvelous things, and he's preaching the good news that brings people to salvation. The best way to prepare for a lost family is to prepare first and foremost for your own death, your physical death. Best way to prepare for a loved one's death is to make sure you're prepared for your death. If you were to die tonight, do you know where you would go? Would you honestly go to heaven? Why would you go to heaven? Think about that. When I ask that question, I get amazing answers. I've been nice to my spouse. I did everything my parents told me what to do this week. I worked overtime for my boss. I didn't play games on the company computer for 3 or 4 days. No, I asked, do you know why you would go to heaven? I believe that most of you in this room do. I also believe there might be someone here this morning who's not sure. And if you're not sure, why not settle that today? Why not might today be the day of salvation? Why not? You're thinking, I want to be a Christian. I don't really have a reason not to be. I'd like to live a life that is more like Christ. I'm going to pray two prayers. I'm going to ask you all to join me in the first one, because it has to do with what we've been learning concerning this series. The second one is going to be the opportunity, the big opportunity, that you might settle everything with Christ and be saved. But one of the things that Jesus asks, he asks us to demonstrate that when we make a decision the following, we're not ashamed of doing that. I do know a couple of people who admitted they were very much ashamed. But they made their decision to follow Christ and would own up to that later on and tell people about it. And not only had our Lord already forgiven them, but now other people understood. And I think some of the shame that they may have felt came forth in, you know, you're not the only one that has been this way. But what I'm saying is Jesus is going to say, if you will confess me before other people, I'll confess you before my dad. But if you think that you're wanting to get away with being a secret agent Christian, that doesn't work. That just doesn't work. Because you'll never really be sure you're a Christian. So at the end of the second prayer, I'm going to ask, if you prayed that prayer and you gave your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to put up your hand so we can give you something free to take home. Okay? So let's bow our heads together. Would you pray this prayer with me with all your heart? Dear God, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know all things that scare me. Sometimes I'm even afraid of my own emotions. Sometimes I'm afraid to show them. And I admit I have often equated sadness with weakness, not strength. I realize that I need to learn some stuff today about how to grieve in a proper way, a healthy way. That is a choice you have taught me from Scripture now. It doesn't happen unless I let it happen in my life. And Father God, many times I've pushed it down. I've stuffed it. I've suppressed it and repressed. And I've denied and even gone ahead thinking that I could go past it without going through it. Lord, help me to realize that grief is healthy. It's the only healthy response to loss. Thank you. Thank you that you grieve with me. Thank you that you're close to the brokenhearted. Thank you for putting me at Granada Hills Community Church, where I can be in a healing community where we carry each other's burdens and we can share each other's sorrows. I should be in a small group to build that kind of connection. And I recognize that in these small groups there can be a safety net when I'm in pain and where I can help others in their pain. So the next time we start our supper 10 groups, don't let me have an excuse not to be a part. Lord, many, many times I've rushed at trying to find an answer and tried to find an answer and a quick fix. And instead, there was no instant solution. Instead of realizing the grief takes time and that there's a season for everything in life. Forgive me. Forgive me for that, please. Abba, Father, Daddy. Help me. Help me, Abba, to make a list of things that I've lost in life that maybe I was too busy or too afraid to grieve. I don't want to be stuck anymore in the valley of the shadow. I want to identify what I've really lost. And I want to have the courage to lament, not just an intellectual exercise, but I mean it, Father. I want to feel the grief and to express it. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you can handle all my questions and all my fears and anger, everything. Thank you that you love me and you can handle anything I bring your way in a tender, compassionate way. Here's the second prayer that I invite anyone who is second-guessing, not sure that they've really crossed the line and received God the Holy Spirit into their lives by having responded to God's grace alone through Jesus Christ, his Son, alone, and have made that determination in their heart to repent, to turn from the direction they were going to the direction they have some idea that God wants them to go. So might you pray with me as I prayed this prayer years ago. Jesus, I ask you to heal my broken heart. I do that by first of all asking you to come into my heart and change it. I need changing, my Lord. I confess I am a sinner in need of you to be my redeeming Savior. Fill my life with your unconditional love, please. Father God, thank you that you're a father that's tender and compassionate. You understand the weaknesses in my life. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to heal people like me, brokenhearted. Brokenhearted over my sin. Please start that today in my life, even more so. As much as I know how, I say yes to you. I want to follow you, not continue in the direction I've been going. I want to learn to love you and trust you. I make this prayer, Lord Jesus, in your gracious, merciful, redeeming name. Amen. With our heads still bowed, if you prayed that second prayer with me, this would be that time that I would encourage you to look up at me and just put your hand up in the air. All right, my goodness. Keep your hands up, would you, gentlemen? And one lady I see back here as well. Tom, do we have 1, 2, 3, 4 of these packets? This beautiful young woman right here, if you'd give her one of those packets. Then if you'd come up here and... Oh. And then right here in the front row, Tom. I'd like to ask you who have received the packets, you can put your hand down. If, as you go through these packets, if you have any questions, would you call the office? If I'm not in the midst of counseling someone, I'll talk to you right then and there, or call you back, or if Pastor Eugene is available, he'll talk with you too. But I want to encourage you, read them through and begin to do what you read there so that you begin to grow spiritually. Okay? You grow spiritually more than wherever it is that you might be right now. Father God, I want to thank you very much for these two men, and these women that have indicated that they are wanting to do serious business, sincere business with you this morning. They want to make sure they're inviting you into their life to be their Redeemer, to be the Lord over their life, their boss, but a loving boss to whom they can go to and know that you're crazy about them and you look forward to every time that they will come to you and be with you, and you would love to see them every day for any period of time. So help them to grow in the Spirit, Father. May you activate the Holy Spirit in their lives in such a way that all their questions are being answered by going to those who are more spiritually mature and can help them find the answers to which they are looking. To have someone to sit down and pray with them. To have someone give them a big hug if they're hurting over something. To not judge them, but merely to be listened to. And should they ask for some sort of help, then they have that help coming forth. And if this person you go to can't help you, just know they can go to someone else that's more mature than themselves to come back alongside you, to get you the answers you're looking for. Know the Granada Hills Community Church is a safe place, and we love you. We love you more than we can express. But Jesus loves you far more than we can love you, because all we can do is give you what he's given us in portions. And the love of Christ that you've received this morning, understand, he didn't give you a portion of it. He's given you all of it. All of it. And he will never renege it. And won't take it back. You're his brother. You're his sister. His father is your dad. You are now his prized possession. Someone he wants to use for his glory, his honor. You are someone that's going to grow up and be a wonderful royal priest in his royal priesthood. And you have now become a member of his holy family, a holy nation. Praise God. We praise you, Father, for your work in our midst this morning. We thank you so very much, and we do so through your Son, Jesus. Amen.